It's XFM, it's podcast time. Fanny's thrilled that you are online. There's laughs and chat and news and stuff. Thank God you've got the lap. Breakfast XFM,
it's Danny.
With Specs on XFM,
it's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM,
it's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello there and welcome to podcast number 36 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Oh, we've got a good one this week. Guess who's on this very podcast? Only Sir Paul McCartney.
Yes!
That's right, Dave Davies. Plus, Matt Lucas.
Oh my God.
Calm yourself, Dave Davies. And Morgan Spurlock.
This is some sort of dream come true.
Easy now, Dave Davies. Even film star Guy Pearce.
Oh my God.
This is no place for blasphemy, Dave Davies. And we talk about Chinese vets. So let's start now.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
Controversy in the XFM office this morning, Matthew. You were up here already. Me and Dave were downstairs, and I decided, as is a daily tradition, to make David a coffee. Yeah. So I go to the fridge. And there's only soya milk, right? There's that weird soya milk. It's like a lot of sediment in it. And I don't even know if it's supposed to be that way, that sort of soy milk, where you can hear stuff rattling about. It's like a maracas or something. And so I say to Dave, there's no milk. You know, do you want this soya milk stuff, or do you want it black? And what did you say?
I said there should definitely be milk, Danny, because I brought some down from upstairs literally 2 seconds ago.
He brought some milk down from... He'd selflessly gone upstairs to the milk supplies and brought down a single bottle so that we could enjoy a cup of coffee. I went to the fridge, it wasn't there. We worked it out, didn't we? We know who it was. Yeah. It was my nemesis. It was my workplace rival. Oh. It was Mark Forrest. Who presents the Breakfast Show on Classic FM.
Oh.
Now, he had walked in there. Now, they're quite cultured there. And I was thinking it couldn't be him. It couldn't be, you know? Just walking in, bold as brass, taking the milk and walking out again with nary a piece of eye contact for us to, you know, sort this out. So I went to the studios.
I think he is.
I walked past the studios. And they were all in there, the Classic FM team, our nemeses.
Yeah.
Just sitting there, listening to classical music. They've got a cafetiere.
Yeah,
they've got proper sugar, little lumps of sugar.
Really?
And they've got our milk. And it was like upstairs, downstairs, you know? it was like an officer walking through the mess and helping himself to all the private supplies.
XFM.
Myself and Dave went into a little back room where we sat down on a sofa with Paul McCartney just moments before he took to the stage. And this is what happened. Now, XFM listeners, please pay attention and get your listener pads out should you wish to make notes. It is almost pointless trying to sum up this man's musical accolades. 15 Grammys, he's like, yeah, whatever. You know, whatevs, that's what he's like. 300 billion records sold, one of the world's only true household names, a Great Britain. It is Paul McCartney. How are you, Paul?
Lovely.
Good.
Thank you very much.
I'm pleased. Now, you're a former Beatle, is that right?
No. I was actually in the Yardbirds.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a rumour to that effect.
This Beatle rumour
dogging me.
I've just been believing the rumours all these years.
Honestly.
We are at the Royal Albert Hall, where you're about to perform for the Teenage Cancer Trust. What a great gig and a great thing for you to do.
Yeah, it's great, actually. I know one of the guys who started the whole thing, and he's been asking me for years, and we've never been able to fit it in. The date he'd give me, we couldn't make. So last year, I said, OK, I'm going to put that date in and then work the year around it. So it's lovely we're able to do it.
So the whole McCartney year is kind of based around tonight.
Yeah, you could say that.
What a great thing to do.
Yeah, well.
There's a real buzz out there. Loads of people are very, very, very excited. But I overheard you earlier. I was near you. And I overheard you saying that you'd only just done the set list.
Yeah. We always do it, you know, last minute. One reason, because we were playing last night. So last night we were doing last night's set list.
Oh, right.
So you don't want to do the next day. So we said, we'll do it after soundcheck. And then the other reason, we have to figure out how long we've got, how long they want us to do.
Yeah.
And so we always do it like that.
Yeah.
Always after sound check, we say, right, what are we going to do tonight? So then it's a little bit fresher for us.
It keeps it fresh for you. Does it not put the other guys on edge?
Nah.
Are they not worried?
Nah.
You know these songs?
Nah. They know them better than I do.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
They know all the words and the chords.
Right.
You know, I just know some of the words and most of the chords.
You can get away with it with your charm.
Well, I can go.
You can just say, I wrote it. It's supposed to sound like this.
I say, I wrote it, and so any mistakes are rewrites.
Yeah, exactly. Incredible longevity. You've got almost sort of unprecedented in the music world. Yeah. And I was thinking about all the different decades that you sort of spanned with all your hits. And if you had to come up with one moment from, say, the 60s that came to mind, in your scrapbook of your mind, what would that moment be?
One moment from the 60s, I'll tell you exactly what it would be, because we're at the Albert Hall. When I came here, I asked the guys, could you try and figure out what the concert was that we played in the 60s? There was a big package show. I think it was called the Pop Prom or something. Every time I go past this building, which I do a lot, because, you know, I'm in London a lot, I live here, on the back steps there's a little place by the stage door where I always remember this morning, which is, it's like a golden memory to me, because we all arrived early for our sound checks. So there was the Beatles, the Stones, the Yardbirds, all the Liverpool groups, all the cool groups, and we were all standing out there. At that time, we all smoked, so we're all having a ciggy. We're all thinking we're well cool. We've got the little Settle T-shirts on, you know, and the ties and the jackets. And we're all saying, I love your record. And, oh, yeah, great, I love your new record. And we were like, you know, captains of the universe. So I've got this image of us all. And what were we, like, you know, 20-something in our prime? So I always love that. So that's what just flashed back when you said that.
That's great. Just the coolest men on the planet, all in one place, smoking a fag, in the golden sunlight, when it was still encouraged and legal and you know, and healthy to smoke fags in those days.
It was considered healthy,
That's incredible.
XFM.
So pandas, the two pandas, you know Britain's two pandas? The pandas that came over here that we now enjoy. They are set to meet for the first time in the hope that they will mate. So they've been kept separately, you know? So I imagine they don't run out of conversation, that kind of thing. So when they're introduced, well, they've essentially got to try and procreate as quickly as possible.
Right, okay.
And, you know, this is an important thing, and everyone's got a lot of hope towards it. They've only got 36 hours. As a window.
Oh.
That's the problem. She's only got 36 hours. So experts at Edinburgh Zoo plan to introduce them today or tomorrow, right? They're going to build up to it. They're going to check when the appropriate time happens. And then they'll be given 15 minutes together. Just 15 minutes. Yeah. That's not a long time, is it?
No, it's not.
That's hardly like an introduction or anything like that. 15 minutes. And they'll be watched through a grill by the zoo's conservation expert, Ian Valentine. Quite a romantic name. Yeah, that's all right. And Chinese vet, Dr. Tang Chongzhang, right, who's flown in specially. Now, nothing, in my opinion, is hotter than being watched by a Chinese vet.
Yeah.
You know? That's how I became a father. It's the bedtime secret no one ever talks about. If you're listening and you've got access to a Chinese vet, I'm just saying try it. Just saying, try it. But 15 minutes watched, you know, there's no sort of build up. You can't just walk into a room and, you know, there's got to be some romance there. Ian Valentine's trying his best, isn't he, with that kind of name.
Yeah.
But you sort of want to, you know, at least have a first date or something like that if you're a panda, wouldn't you?
I think so, yeah. You've got to get to know each other.
Where would you take a panda on a first date? There's a place in Brighton called Bamboozled. It's a bamboo furniture specialist. It's closing down at the moment, I believe. But, you know, you could take it there, couldn't you? Bamboo TV cabinets, look at bamboo chairs. It's sort of like dinner and a show, isn't it? You're looking at them, then you can munch them down.
Yeah, they'd have a lot to talk about there, something in common.
Well, they've got a lot in common, because there's only sort of 3,000 pandas in the world. So the conversation would be like, do you know Kevin? Of course I know Kevin. I know literally everyone you know. You know, you'd sort of run out quite quickly, wouldn't you? They're endangered.
They are.
That works in the male panda's favour, though, because girls love guys who live endangerously. Huh? How about that?
XFM.
Let's have part two of our Paul McCartney interview. You've been asked, I would imagine, 100 billion questions over the years. What's the one question you've been asked the most? When you tell me, I will then ask you that question, but I'm sending out facts to everyone involved in the media, and it will be the last time you are ever asked that question. It will be retired. What is that question?
It is that question.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's a good question.
No.
The question you've been asked most.
It's very boring.
The question
what
you've been
is
asked
the question
most?
You've been asked most?
I've just been slapped down
it's
by my
that
car.
Question.
You're kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. You know, the truth is, I don't sort of... You do in interviews and you don't remember them.
Right, that's
you
nice.
You know, you it's like a conversation
that's nice
you have.
Because every time I walk past the Royal Albert Hall from now on...
No,
this I'm going to be going, I was a captain of the universe.
No, Danny, listen, this is a really memorable interview you're conducting.
Yeah.
But I'm going to forget it the minute I walk out this room. No.
I have to do something now. I feel like I should kick you in the shin or something so you remember.
Yeah, go on then, go on.
I will not do
Give
that.
Give us your best
that
shot.
That will not be done. In terms of music, nowadays, if you listen to the radio and you hear a song by like a new band or something like that, what's getting you excited at the moment? Is there anything springing to mind?
Yeah, you know, this. What I do is I have a mate who puts together a compilation of sort of new music, just so that I vaguely know what people are doing and stuff. And,
it's not now that's what I call Music 9 or something like that, is it?
No, it's not one of, it's a good compilation, you know. The thing is, you know, I've got to kind of look up who they are.
Yeah.
So I don't always remember who they are. But no, I think there's a lot of good bands going around. I was just listening to a bit of Bruno Mars last night, which, you know, for pop, I think he does some really good stuff.
Proper showman as well.
Yeah, he did good on the Grammys, I thought.
Yeah.
He's really good. I like someone like Kanye West.
Yeah.
And I like a lot of what he does. But there are a lot of bands. Like I say, I wish I had the list in front of me. I'd pick off the ones. Is it Emily someone?
Emily Sondé.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's got a good record.
Absolutely.
But I'm not, you know, totally up on all the names, but I like to listen to I think there's some good records, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We held a competition earlier this week for someone to come and meet you, and the competition went crazy. You know, it was properly crazy. It was just kind of the screens burning up with people getting involved. And the guy who won, the best person who could have won this competition, you just met him, you're incredibly lovely to him. He felt very, very emotional afterwards. You must get that a lot. You must get people fainting, applauding, breaking to spontaneous applause when you walk through airports, things like that.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't say fainting or breaking into spontaneous applause, but there is a really good feeling. The truth is, what you get most is you'll get stopped and people say, look, I just want to say thanks for everything, you know. You changed my life. And that is pretty amazing, you know. Yeah. It's like you think, oh, yeah. The Beatles came along and it was different before then.
Yeah.
And I think what it did, it empowered a lot of people. A lot of people said, I knew I wanted to be in music. You find people like Springsteen, Tom Petty, a lot of people like that just suddenly said, I knew what I wanted to do then, you know. And that is pretty amazing to be part of that.
Yeah, an incredible moment in history that goes back to that.
You know, it is nice when people say that. And the other brilliant one, apropos tonight, is people say, you know, I was really ill and your music helped me through it. And, you know, we didn't set out to do that. But it's a fantastic side benefit that, you know, our music did that. So I'm very proud of it, and it is quite emotional.
Absolutely. Mm. Well, have a great time tonight. Just before we finish, have you got any questions for me?
Yeah, what is the most awkward question you have ever been asked?
Well, I think the most awkward moment was when Paul McCartney slapped me down during an interview on my own breakfast show.
Yeah.
So I'll take that
one.
Well,
I'm glad to have been that guy.
Yeah.
I was that guy.
Excellent work. Paul, thank you so much. Have a fantastic night tonight, and I will now kick you in the shin.
Okay.
Kick you in the
We are XFM.
So yeah, that was just Paul McCartney threatening me with physical violence to my gentleman's agreements here on XFM.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
XFM.
You know what the bane of my life is at the moment, Dave? The absolute bane of my life.
Go on.
Church bells. Church bells.
Yes.
I have to spend about an hour a day looking at YouTube videos of church bells. Church bells, and we've moved on now. It's not just British church bells, it's now Switzerland. I'm very into Russian videos of church bells.
Right.
Because my son was walking through a park with his grandma and granddad, and a church suddenly started ringing its bells, and it was the most amazing magical moment for him. So, this noise, where's this coming from? And since then, he mainly talks about churches or church bells. It looks like I'm raising the most religious child in Britain. Every time we pass a church, can I go in? Well, we've got to move on. Can we hear church bells? Well, we have to sort of go. And yesterday I had to put in another hour of church bells YouTube stuff. And like I say, Russia, they do a very different type of church bell there. I don't know if you're familiar with the church bells of Russia.
No, I'd imagine different. You're learning a lot about these church bells now.
Very different system, Dave. You'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah,
go
don't
on.
Don't write it off.
No, well, I didn't.
Well, we've got the vertical pulling, haven't we, for the ropes?
Of course.
Over there, the guy goes in the belfry, whatever, and sort of taps rhythmically loads of different wires, creating a very different sound. I aim to talk about this a lot in the coming days on XFM.
Any other nations with their church bell tendencies that we...
Swiss is very... It's very sort of up and downy kind of thing. Ours is very, it's repetitive, you know, not very imaginative.
No.
Russia goes crazy, like I say. There's some nice ones in the Czech Republic as well. So I'll be bringing in a lot of, but the weird thing is I was in the park yesterday. I met another dad that I know, and I was telling him, you know, he's really into church bells, and he went, he is as well, pointed at his kid, and then turns out we both watch the same Big Ben videos. I know loads about Big Ben at the moment. Do you know that Big Ben is as heavy as an elephant?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm not sure whether they named the Ben after a politician or a sort of a boxer who's very famous called Ben Cordell.
Right, well, these are all interesting facts about Big Ben.
I'll move on. I'm delighted to welcome another A-list star, another A-list guest, Dave, to the XFM Breakfast Show. It's only Matt Lucas, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hello. No matter what radio show you ever go on,
yes,
people clap you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right? BBC Radio Kent, what do they do?
Matt Lucas!
They do that.
I don't know if I've been on that, but I know if I did, they
would do that.
Yeah, they do. They sort of do it on...
Let's see what happens. Drop the music. Let's see what happens if we just do it without that.
Okay.
Let's welcome Matt Lucas. Matt, how are you? It sounds like Radio 4.
Yes.
It sounds like you're in trouble in some way.
You've become Mark Lawson.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something?
No, it's going to be something. It's going to be one of those things, isn't it, where they go, can I ask you something? And then it's something cheeky, a tiny jibe. What's it going
to
be?
I just wanted to try and work out how old you are and how old you were when I first met you.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So how old are you now?
I'm 35.
So when I first met you, you were in your teens.
Yeah, I was, yes. I was a teenage boy. I was 17 or 18.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I had just started doing stand-up comedy.
You had? And Sir Bernard Chumley?
That's it, Sir Bernard Chumley. And I was at Bristol University.
Yeah.
And you lived in Bath.
I did.
And then I came to Bath to do a gig and you interviewed me for, was it a student magazine?
It wasn't. Sadly, it was for a professional magazine which folded straight after.
Oh, really?
Although it was fairly studenty.
What was the magazine?
It's called Comedy Review.
Right.
And in fact, I used to interview probably more than I've interviewed anyone else in my life. It'd be every week. I'd be talking to you and David Williams about everything you were up to.
That's right.
The Paramount comedy sketches
you used
to do.
Before we were famous, so like when no one was yet interested.
I was your big supporter.
Yeah, you were.
And then, yeah, we met up and we had a couple of pints in a pub near Bath and you did Sir Bernard Chumley. No one knew what hit them. It was a kind of a mad character I don't know how to describe him, really.
Well, he spoke like this. he was an old theatrical raconteur,
right?
Yeah, it was really rude.
Yeah,
people
it was.
Used to come and see our shows and say, well, we like it, but we can't put it on TV.
They did, though. Sir Bernard Chumley, Stately Homes?
He did, yes. And he did appear in the first series of Little Britain, actually.
Oh, did he really?
He did, yes.
On the radio or the TV one as well?
On TV as well.
Did he really?
Yes.
I can remember that. Also, you and David, you were doing lots of shows in Edinburgh together.
Yeah.
Sir Bernard Chumley's Gang Show. I used
That's
to really
right.
enjoy all those things. So, yeah, I've been with the Lucas thing since the start, my friend.
That's right, and look at you now with your film in Hollywood and everything like that.
Well, my early mornings are more like it, getting up every day.
We are XFL.
I mentioned earlier, Dave, Milkgate.
Oh, Milkgate.
Milkgate. I mean, you know, we get in nice and early, don't we, and we sit there, and one of the few joys that we share... Early in the morning, just two guys hanging out, looking at the papers.
Yeah.
You doing your stuff, me doing mine. The one thing that unites us is that hot tap coffee.
Yes.
That we make, isn't it? And you went all the way up to the fifth floor the other day when there was no milk in the kitchenette fridge. And you selflessly brought down some milk.
I did.
So I did my part of the bargain, which was use that milk to make us some coffee.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One sugar for you, no sugar for me.
Mm-hmm.
You with the red mug, we with the blue. That's the system.
Always.
Open the fridge, milk's gone. Yeah. And you're like, hang on, I just put it in there. Is there a ghost? What's going on here? No, it wasn't a ghost, was it? So it's clowns at Classic. Absolute clowns. Just a big joke to them, isn't it? Just a big joke. He walks in, doesn't he, Mark Forrest, host of the Classic FM Breakfast Show. Just walks in, bold as brass.
Who does he think he is?
The audacity of the man. Just walks in, opens the fridge, takes the whole bottle. Whole bottle. Doesn't even pour something into a mug
no.
for us, yeah? Treats us like mugs, if anything.
Exactly.
Walks out with the milk.
What did you have to settle with? Soya milk.
Soya milk, which I wasn't even sure. I didn't know. How do you tell when it's gone off?
I don't know.
Is there always that sediment in there? It was like yogurt. Is that what it's supposed to be like? So I made us two yogurt-y teas, popped it in there. We didn't touch them. I walked past the studio, didn't I? Classic FM studio. Mark's in there with his sidekick, Gubbins. They've both got a copy of The Guardian. Why have they both got a copy of The Guardian?
That's a really good question.
Where did they get that from?
Don't know.
Where did they get that from? And they're sitting there with this pot of coffee, proper coffee, lumps of sugar, not the sachets we use.
What?
And the whole thing of milk. Now, I'm trying to get an apology off him. Ferrari, Nick Ferrari, the other... I mean, it's caused ripples in the Breakfast Show community here. Yeah. It's a bit like the Beano, the Breakfast Show DJ community. We live in bunk beds, that kind of thing. Yeah. Ferrari got so angry, he punched a hole in the wall. Did you see that when you walked past?
I can't believe it.
That is like a massive... There's a hole in the wall. That's how angry he got. Kojo and Max Choice, they're like, this can't go on. Mm-hmm. Paul Coit, he stepped up to the mark for us, didn't he? Paul Coit on Gold.
Hi, this is Paul Coit from Gold with a message for the Brotherhood. Yeah. When it comes to this whole XFM versus Classic FM rivalry, I'm Team Danny all the way. Yes. Hands off our milk, Forest Face.
Yeah. Hands off our milk, that's all we ask, Forest Face, yeah, the clown. Team Danny. This was hugely controversial, right? Because I thought that Classic, they're one thing, yeah, and we're the other. We keep ourselves to ourselves, right? There's a begrudging respect, but no real respect. And then, this was amazing. Suchet broke rank.
Hi, Danny. John Suchet here from Classic FM. I've recently caught wind of your current plight with our very own Mark Forrest and his light-fingered approach to the communal milk supply. Just so you know, as much as I respect Mark as a fellow broadcaster, I'm very much Team Danny when it comes to the misappropriation of milk, and I'll do anything I can to make sure Mark is held responsible for these outrageous actions.
Good, good. I'm pleased to have Suchet on board and Coit as well. I guarantee you, I'm going to get an apology off Mark this morning.
We are XFM.
Last night, myself and Dave, we met Sir Paul McCartney. We went to the Royal Albert Hall, we met Macca. What a great night, you know. Very interesting, his process as well, what he does before a gig.
Yeah.
He's in the Royal Albert Hall, and everyone is there because of Paul McCartney. All these people with jobs, you know, the roadies, the people, the press, everyone there, all because of this guy. And he called in a few favours from his friends as well, didn't he?
He did indeed.
Called in a favour from Paul Weller, called in a favour from Ronnie Wood, called in a favour from Roger Daltrey. Well, in a sense, Daltrey called in a favour from Macca, didn't he? Get him to play Teenage Cancer Trust. Yeah. It was fantastic. What a great event, what an amazing cause. And we were very proud to be there, particularly because of confirmed listener Dave Davies from Froome, who won our competition. Let's remind ourselves of this lovely gent. Dave, my friend, you and nine of your mates are going to meet Paul tomorrow.
Oh, my God. This is some sort of dream come true. This can't be real.
It is real.
I'm shaking. This is amazing. I can't believe it. This is just the most amazing thing ever.
So that's our winner. And this... this is his story.
XFM.
Meet Dave Davies from Froome, the same place as Jenson Button.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm from Froome, the same place as Jenson Button.
It's true, we've looked it up.
24 hours ago, they said that you were going to text into a radio show and that you would get on and that I'd meet Paul McCartney. Well, it's like I said on the time, it's a dream come true. I can't believe I get to meet him. It's just the best. It's like, well, meeting my hero, and I just can't wait.
And Dave Davies from Froome did text in. And what's more, he got through.
When my phone started ringing, I started shaking. I couldn't believe it. I just looked at it and I saw it was a London number, and I just thought, oh my God.
It was a London number. In fact, it was us.
Well, I knew I'd won the minute I said let it be, and I sort of, then everything clicked in that, oh my God, I've won, I can't believe it. I started shaking, my legs went to jelly, I was sat in a car, and I just couldn't honestly believe what had just happened. I just can't believe it, it's amazing.
Jelly legs Dave should believe it, but life's not always been so easy for Dave Davies of Froome.
Well, the last about 3-4 months ago when I lost my favourite Czech shirt, I couldn't believe it. You just put it in a wash basket. In 1 minute it's there, the next minute your mum takes it out and puts it in the washing machine, and then the next thing you know it's gone and you never see it again. So the last 3 or 4 months I've spent trying to rebuild my life. The only thing that's got me through these last couple of months is dreaming of meeting Paul McCartney, and now it's happening and I can't believe it.
Again, he should believe it, because last night, at London's Royal Albert Hall, Dave Davies from Froome met Paul McCartney.
It was amazing, and I can't believe I did it. You know they say never meet your heroes. I want to say a naughty word to that. Thank you to XFM, thank you to you, Danny, you, Dave, Mr. Dyson, everyone. It's been absolutely brilliant.
I should be clear, though, Dyson had very little to do with it.
No, that's fine, OK.
So Dave Davies from Froome goes through to boot camp to meet Ringo. We are XFM, and we love you, Dave Davies from Froome.
Matt Lucas is here. No applause, please. No applause.
Guess what? I've actually met Kasabian in real life. Ask me what they were like.
What were Kasabian like when you met them?
You all right?
You're full of showbiz stories.
You all right?
Who else you met?
Gosh, lots of folk.
Name them alphabetically.
Okay, you meet everyone in the end, don't you?
Do you? But,
yeah, you do. And there's this weird thing that if you're famous and they're famous, you're sort of allowed to say hello to each other. Like you know each other.
Yeah. There's a little kind of nod.
But it's quite weird because you forget that famous people watch
normal telly.
Yeah, so a really, really weird thing. This is an incredible name drop.
Yeah.
So I apologise in advance.
Don't worry.
But I was at a party recently and Meryl Streep was there.
Oh.
And she introduced herself to me and told me that when she was filming The Iron Lady,
she
used to watch Little Britain in the evenings.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did she base her look on anything? Maybe on Marjorie Dawes?
We had the same makeup artist, the guy Mark Coulier, who won the Oscar.
Really?
Used to do the prosthetics. He did all your, you know, Precious Little and all
that. Wow.
Same, yeah.
Blimey, that's great. So Meryl Streep, very much a fan.
Well,
who else? Because, you know, Little Britain was...
She might have just been polite, but it was weird because you forget that famous people watch TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
You must have a lot of celebrity fans, Danny.
That's very nice of you. We'll clip that and we'll stick that somewhere.
Yeah.
There was a nice moment. You mentioned Yes Men earlier, the Jim Carrey, the Jim Carrey movie. We were on a bus, me and Jim Carrey, in Leicester Square, just there. And it was great because this bus was moving towards the crowd of Jim Carrey fans, all of whom adore Jim Carrey. They're waiting for Jim Carrey. And they see him eventually and they start kind of applauding in the distance. And he says, "You ready for this?" And I go, "Yeah." And then you hear this lone voice somewhere down to the left. And it just goes, "We love you." And he walks over to take the adulation, but they haven't finished and they go, "Danny Wallace!" But it was just my mates coming out the pub.
Really?
Yeah, but I didn't tell Jim Carrey. I just went, "This is my town, Jim. It's the kind of thing that happens here. I'll look after you."
Good for you.
Yeah, well, it was just my mate Stefan. Just a bit drunk. And what's next, Matt? What else are you working on?
I'm off to do a part in a film with Elizabeth Olsen.
Oh.
And Jessica Lange.
Wow, now Elizabeth Olsen.
I was calling her Jessica Lange, but apparently that's very wrong.
That's hugely wrong.
Yes.
That's almost as wrong as you can get.
Yes, and Tom Felton.
Tom Felton, yeah. Okay,
yeah,
great.
In Serbia.
In Serbia?
Yeah.
Oh, well, good luck.
Have you been to Serbia?
I haven't been to Serbia.
No?
I imagine it's quite cold, Matt.
I know, I think probably it is cold. A lot of films film in kind of Eastern Europe, and I've filmed in Bucharest and Dubrovnik and Budapest and Prague and all those places.
Yeah. They're very beautiful, but you get tax breaks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cold and beautiful and tax breaks, basically.
It's mainly the tax breaks, I think, that lead people there at the moment. So you're going there, and Elizabeth Olsen, one of the Olsen sisters, not one of the twins, but she's doing amazing things, isn't she?
She was in a play called, film called Mary, do you know what I'm talking about?
Not really, Matt.
Nor do I.
Are you having a breakdown?
Out live on air.
Just inventing Matt titles.
No, she was, there's some film called Marcy. Do you know, does any... There we go.
Someone's
Martha
joining
Marcy
in on the side
Marlene,
there. Yeah. I think Matt's not very well. We're going to close the interview now. It's all good. Hey, so the Matt Lucas Awards begins on Tuesday, 10:35, BBC
you just,
One.
You know, you just thumped the desk when you spoke. You know the last person I saw do that?
No.
Rupert Murdoch in that Inquiry. Kept doing that.
Well, I am the Murdoch of this programme in many senses. Matt, thank you so much for swinging by today. Best of luck with the programme. We leave the last word with you. What will that word be?
Owl.
We're XFM.
XFM.
This is what we're going to talk about, Dave. What the heck happened last night?
Well,
I didn't want to bring this up.
I know you did.
It's still raw. It's still very raw.
It's going to be raw.
I've lost my gnome.
He's lost his gnome
already.
You got a gnome sent to you. Oof.
That's a bit gratuitous.
Well, it's more dramatic for you than everyone else, I think. You had a gnome sent to you. It was I saw the gnome briefly.
Yeah.
It was delivered in a white paper bag, and it was reclining. It was a reclining gnome. And you got a new gate off Mario, your landlord.
We did. Thanks for that, Mario. That's still there.
And you thought, well, clearly we're gentrifying this area.
Yes.
I will join in with the beautification of my North London front lawn. Mm. I'll pop a gnome down.
Yes, and it kind of worked hand in hand because I thought the gate would protect the gnome.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If anything, it's drawn attention to the fact that you've got a gnome to protect. Local scallywags, rapscallions, riffraff, the like, yeah. Youths, must have scaled that enormous gate. How big was the gate?
Oh, at least 2.5 foot.
It's a 2.5 foot gate.
Yeah.
Gone over and nicked your gnome. And who's got... I mean, so what happened? How did you feel when you got home yesterday?
Well, Hannah, my girlfriend's over the moon. She hated him.
Well, it's clearly Hannah then, isn't it?
Well, that was my initial suspicion.
Hannah's taken that gnome with a Hannah hammer. And now that's been spread all over London. She spread that gnome's ashes.
I thought it was the most tasteful gnome in the world. He was sleeping away with his head resting on a mushroom.
Well, those are the most tasteful ones, any that use fungus. What? So Hannah hated it. I think Hannah's got something to do with this.
Yeah.
So when you went in, you went, the gnome's gone. Had you named the gnome?
Yeah, well, Alfie.
Alfie. Yeah. So you went, Alfie's gone. Alfie's gone, our little Alfie. And what did she say?
Well, she said that's terrible. No, she played up to it. She said that's terrible news.
Uh-huh.
But you could see the glint in her eye, the corner of her mouth curled
up.
She's
pure evil, that girl. She's pure evil. So you've got no idea where it's gone. Have you asked neighbours?
No, I've not gone that far yet. I'm gonna put some posters up on the trees.
What council takes care of your area?
Haringey.
Haringey. So I wonder if you can get CCTV.
That's a good point, yeah. On our front window ledge.
Should we get onto that today? If you work for Haringey Council, could you please tell us if it's possible to obtain closed-circuit television footage of a gnome theft?
Yeah, and this might help. Around about 10 past midnight last night, I did hear some Larry louts outside the front of our house, so it could have something to do with them.
Where was Hannah?
I didn't turn over in bed, but I presume she was next to me. I presume.
We just don't know at this
we
stage.
We don't know.
All right, well, listen, I think we should phone Haringey Council in the next hour, Dave.
This needs to be actioned.
This needs to be actioned.
XFM.
It's only Guy Pearce, everybody. Here he is.
Yay, thank you very much.
How are you, Guy?
I'm very good.
Good.
Yeah, very good.
Already?
Up nice and early.
Up nice and early, exactly. You're only in Britain for a day.
I know. It was a quick trip and a quick visit.
Absolutely. Already, off air, we've covered various topics, you'll be pleased to know, ladies and gentlemen, including wiry Australian grandmothers.
Wiry Australian football-loving grandmothers.
Football-loving grandmothers, yes. Exactly. We've covered Essendon and Geelong. This is for our Antipodean listeners at the moment. That's just to keep people in touch with the Australian
absolutely.
Sports.
And all of those Cats fans out there all know that they're the best team around.
There you go. So, good.
We did
win
the grand final last year.
Really? Okay. Yeah. He's looking very proud. I'm not sure what most of that meant. But Geelong is where you're from.
Geelong is where I'm from. Well, I was born in England, but I grew up in Geelong.
You're born in Cambridgeshire, of course.
But that's right. Born in Ely.
And I went straight to Geelong.
Got the hell out of Ely and went straight to Geelong. Yes, it was definitely not a step up in the world.
I've been to Geelong. It's proper men in Geelong.
Yes, that's why I left.
Really, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay, fair enough. Now, you seem like a nice man, Guy Pearce.
I'm not a bad guy.
Yeah, is that an accurate description of you?
I think so.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I've killed a couple of people.
We'll move on. You said, yeah.
You know, I was nice about it when I did it.
Oh, that's nice. As long as you're polite.
Yes, that's right. Don't mind if I'm going to do this to you.
You're only over here for a day. You've been in, like, France. You live in Australia.
I live in Australia. We were in LA doing some promotional stuff. We were in France for the opening the other day. Obviously, it's a French production, essentially, yeah. But it appears to be an American movie when people watch the film.
Mm-hmm.
And then back to the States tomorrow and then back home next week.
You're exhausted. What an exhausting life you lead.
A big lie down I'll be having.
Yeah, exactly. What do you normally do in London when you've got more time?
I've got a couple of friends here. I was catch up with my friend Dave and a couple of other friends. And
everyone's got a friend called Dave, haven't they?
Yeah, everyone needs a friend called Dave.
What's your mate Dave like?
That's a horrible bloke. He has no friends. I'm his only friend. No, that's not true. He's a fantastic guy.
Good. Well, I'm pleased to hear it. Is there a community of Dave's, Dave? Do you all like hang out together?
Yeah, we get together. There's meetings, monthly meetings.
Dave's meetings.
Yeah, so you know this
calls.
Dave.
Yeah, I know that Dave, the horrible Dave, yeah? Is that right? Yeah,
no, terrible bloke.
It's great everyone has to go by one sort of nickname, like the Mr. Men or something like that.
I would have thought you could have a TV station called Dave, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's all worked out for him.
We are...
You should know the rules by now, really, but if you're ready, Sam, let's get quizzical.
Quiz Face. The Quiz
that's inspired a nation.
If you overshoot Fleet, you must not overshoot Winchester. If you overshoot Winchester, you're screwed.
Deceptively hard, yet fiendishly simple.
Well, you should know the rules by now. You should know the rules by now, Gavin. You should know the rules by now, do you?
Yeah, what are the rules, or...
The Sony Award nominated.
You know what's coming. Do you want to rip, sing, or bugle?
Giggle. Quiz. Face.
So, Sam.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Sam, you ready? Well done, first of all. You've beaten the first hurdle, haven't you? You could, of course, have played your Joker through that self-congratulatory opening montage. It is to your credit, Sam, that you chose not to. Means also we can move swiftly and effortlessly to this week's quiz phase, which is, Sam, guess the answer.
The answer.
So you should know the rules by now, of course. It's your job to guess the answer to various questions. I'll be setting various questions to you in the hope of getting the answer. The answer's worth points. Your job is to guess that answer. Now, each of the questions does have an answer associated with it. Your job, Sam, is to guess that answer. Guessing the answer correctly means the points are yours. If you guess the answer incorrectly, i.e. you don't guess the answer, then the points are not yours. Does that make sense, Sam?
That makes perfect sense, yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic, Sam. Here we go, then. Let's guess the answer. Okay, time is going, Sam. I must push you. Please guess the answer, Sam. I need you to guess the answer. Guess the answer. Quickly.
1966.
Stop the clock. Okay, I can tell you, looking at the people who are playing along at home online, 40% of people said porcini mushrooms, 35% said a standard halogen light bulb, 6% said no, 5% simply said B, murder is illegal. So, Sam, do you want to stick with your answer, 1966, or do you want to swap for one of theirs?
Yeah, no, I might as well stick with my one.
You're going to stick? Okay, let's lock that in, please. Okay, Sam, you've locked 1966 in. The answer is locked in. Sam, guess the question. Quickly now, Sam, I need you to guess the question. I must push you.
What year did England win the World Cup?
Stop the clock. Okay, you're saying what year did England win the World Cup? So I can tell you that from the people playing along online at home, 98% are unemployed. 2% thought they were on Friendster. So, Sam, your question was, in what year did England win the World Cup? The corresponding answer you decided to lock in, and I gave you options, didn't I? I gave you options. You locked in 1966. How are you feeling, Sam? Confident?
Yeah, pretty confident, yeah.
You a football fan?
No.
Not a football fan? And yet you chose a football question and a football answer. You must be having doubts about now.
A little bit, yeah. Making me nervous.
Okay, Sam. Well, it's time to spin the wheel. You know what happens next. Shout stop when you're happy with the power bar.
Right, okay. Stop.
Stopped it at the top. Nice. Now let's spin the wheel. Full blast. So, in what year did England win the World Cup was your question. Your answer was 1966. Oh, I'm afraid that's not the answer I have, Sam. But remember, you did not play your Joker during the opening montage, meaning you can now play your Joker should you wish. Do you want to play your Joker?
Yes, I do.
Play the Joker. Guess the answer, Sam. We are...
XFM.
He's dead!
Oh, my God!
We are... So what we decided to do was hand over the running order to Guy so that Guy could really design the XFM breakfast show this morning and really put out there a breakfast show tailored for him that he could believe in. So what's coming up on the show, Guy?
Yes, this is Guy Pearce on XFM. And coming up next, we've got more of the golden age of steam. Mm-hmm. What's best, fruit or puppies?
Good.
The history of wood.
Yeah.
And music from Sandalbanger and Zorba the Great.
We are XFM.
We are... XFM.
So, a 999 operator, right, answers the phone. Mm-hmm. Part of their job. No words are uttered. Nothing happens. But the emergency services operator decides that she can hear some heavy breathing. So, understandably, she's concerned, you know. What's going on here? So, an ambulance very quickly is sent out to the address of the phone number, okay? Just in case someone's in some trouble. And someone is in some trouble.
Yeah.
They find him. He's George. And he's a two-year-old basset hound.
Right.
In West Yorkshire. And he somehow managed to get himself tangled up in the phone line. And then, brilliantly, managed to dial 999.
Really?
Okay. He's in some trouble. I don't know if it's on purpose. He may have, you know, it's like the Infinite Monkeys thing, isn't it? He may have done some other numbers beforehand. But eventually he managed to dial 999. And the owners weren't at home, obviously, because, you know, it's not that you just watch a dog do that.
No, no, no.
Oh, he's dialed 999 now. What's on telly? So they weren't at home. So, so the ambulance turns up and the neighbours are all worried. So they sort of help bash the door down or whatever. They get in. There's the dog. The dog is saved. He saved his own life.
That's incredible.
That is incredible.
Yeah, well done.
XFM.
Quiz Face.
Hello, I'm confirmed listener Sam, and I just guessed the answer. The latest format from the Sony Award nominated Quizface. But really, my victory is as nothing, thanks to the blatant and arrogant disregard television commissioners continue to show for Quizface. It is as if they hate their viewers. We must continue and fight. Thank you, Quizface. Thank you, Daddy Wallace.
XFM.
We are still delighted to be in the presence, the company of the great Guy Pearce. Guy Pearce is here. Hello, Guy.
It's Guy Pearce.
The great Guy Pearce, huh? How about
that? I've heard that before.
Really?
No.
No one's ever called you great?
I don't think so.
Really?
Well, not to my face.
Oh, right.
You might have said it behind my back.
Oh, man, you're complaining about people saying nice things behind your back.
That's right.
That's good. Just to keep you updated as to the texter that Guy set just earlier, what's best, fruit or puppies. We've only had one entry so far. It just says puppies because the texter does not eat fruit. We can finally put that debate to bed.
Yes, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
So, Guy, I mean, what's next?
Well, I'm actually taking a break at the moment.
Are you?
I've done a bunch of films in the last year or so that haven't come out. Prometheus is another one that is highly
apparently extraordinary. Yeah, Chloe was saying she's seen various footage of that. It looks amazing.
Yes, well, you've probably seen more than I have.
How long is this break?
Well, it was going to be 6 months.
6 months?
The first 6 months of this year, probably.
How does 1 month sound?
sure, okay.
All right, good. I'll tell you why. Here on the show, we like to look after our A-list guests. We like to make sure that they make Yeah, they keep employed, but also that they make choices befitting of them as actors, okay? So, this morning on the programme, the important broadcast, we asked our listeners to come up with star vehicles for you. Radio, TV, online, film, all of these things
Fantastic.
Are covered.
Do I have to give them a commission?
Well, yes, most of the
most
money
of
does
go pay.
To okay. does go to us. You do get a cut. Shall we play Snap My Pitch Up?
Snap My Pitch Up.
Yes is the answer to that. So here's the first one for you. Here's the first one for you, Guy Pearce, movie star. Simple yes or no will do. Guy Pearce, looking fierce, right? This is a landmark HBO fashion series. It's shot entirely in black and white. The twist is it's unedited, okay? Completely unedited. Guy Pearce simply stares at a camera for 90 minutes, making a series of very fierce faces. And there's a voiceover that will simply say, Guy Pearce is looking fierce, just repeatedly shrieking that every time you hit the viewer with another fierce Pearce face. You in?
Yes.
He's in already.
Wow.
No questions whatsoever.
Sounds like the best thing I've ever heard.
Great. Excellent work. Well, that's the first one. He's definitely in. Guy Hard. Guy Pearce is left in the lobby of a hotel. He has to find his way out using just his instincts, his eyes, and his natural knowledge of basic hotel lobby layouts. You might be spun around. That's the...
As you can see, I'm wearing glasses, so yeah. I can't rely on my eyes. So
okay.
No, that's a no.
That's a no. Straight away. Complete no to Guy Hard. Cy in Rickmansworth. Let's get Cy's.
Guy Pearce. We follow Guy as he gets a series of piercings that become disturbingly more erotic as the show progresses.
How are you on erotic piercings?
Oh,
disturbing
yes.
or otherwise?
Yes, I'm in.
Okay, good. This is very easy with you. Guy Pearce's Pie Gears. This is an anonymous entry. It's television. Each week we see if Guy is able to replace the inner workings of a complicated machine with parts sourced only from pies. It's a difficult one.
Oh, it is a difficult one. Do I get to eat the pies?
Yes.
Yes.
He's in.
I'm in.
Pearce's Pursed Purses. Guy shows off his extraordinary abilities with a sewing machine, creating beautiful purses for charitable causes, but the whole time with his lips pursed, as if he were actually resenting the idea. That's from Carrie.
My mother was a needlework teacher.
You're kidding me.
So, yes.
Boom. That's great. I can already see it. Guy Pearce is on a mission. Then we cut to you talking about your mother with a needlework thing.
With a pursed lip.
Purses everywhere. What about Sacra Memento? It's a film where you try your best to forget a 2-week stay with a bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses.
No, no. Done that.
Gynecologist. I'm still not reading that one out. And finally,
yes, though, yes.
Finally, Guy Polar. We send Guy Pearce to wrestle polar bears, which I imagine you're both very happy about, at the same time as being quite distraught about.
I'm imagining that's the last job I do in my life.
Yeah, before it all goes wrong.
Yes.
Guy, well, it looks like you're into quite a few of those. We will get the paperwork drawn up. As I mentioned to you off air, these are legally binding. Just to update you as well, a few more texts in, Guy. It's all changed. It was puppies. Now it's fruit. They make tastier milkshakes. And fruit, a puppy, will not stop you getting scurvy. Excellent work.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
So we just got this. It's arrived in the last, I can tell you exactly when, 3 minutes 41, while that Killer's thing, Killer's track was playing. Will you play it, Dave?
This is Mark Forrest, host of the multi-award-winning Classic FM Breakfast Show, with an apology. I'm sorry you feel that I stole your milk, but I've never subscribed to the view that one can own dairy. The shared kitchenette, from which I could easily have you banned, enjoys a wealth of milk alternatives provided by Global Radio PLC for just such a problem. So, stick another sugar in your hot tap coffee, indie kid, and play some proper music. Because I'm Mark Forrest, and I'd do it again in a heartbeat. And as for you, Suchet, you still owe me 50p for that can of Tango.
I've got issues with this apology.
It's not an apology.
It's not an apology, is it? That's not technically an apology. It contained the words, I'm sorry, but apart from that, clown. What was that? Is he messing with our system now? He's bringing in like a sexy music bed there. What's that?
That was the Matador music.
It's clown Mark Forrest going to rue the day.
We are XFM.
So I'll tell you what, Dave, you know, we get some people, don't we?
We
get
do.
Some people passing through these very doors.
We do indeed.
This is a prestigious booking. Prestigious booking right here. Documentarian. It's not often we say that word.
No, it's not.
It's even less that we say Oscar-nominated documentarian.
Yeah.
He's a presenter. He is a producer. He is all those things. He is many more as well. It is Morgan Spurlock is here.
Thank you.
Hello, Morgan. How are you?
I don't think the word prestigious is ever used to describe me.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll get that clipped onto a little audio file for you, and you can just...
I can just play it in my head all the time.
Or on a loudspeaker. It doesn't matter. You can strap a loudspeaker to your back and just wander around with that. That'll be fine.
Prestigious. Yeah. Prestigious.
How are you, first of all?
I'm great. Thank you.
Yeah. Man, you are all over the world all the time.
Yeah.
I follow Morgan on Twitter. Sometimes I just follow him around as well. it's like every other day he's at Osaka, or he was in Cannes over the weekend, things like that.
Yeah.
You're everywhere. What's going on?
No, man, it's full on. We're just, we are like in massive New Britannia mode right now.
Getting ready for the
premiere, which is tonight at 10 o'clock.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. God, it always sounds posh when an American talks about the first episode of a series, doesn't it? The season premiere.
Yeah.
Well, look, tell us what it's about.
Yeah, so it's a show that kind of looks at British culture through kind of the filter of me as an American. And, we wanted to kind of look at this UK-US divide, which is not so much of a divide. It's much more of a unification through New Britannia, the series.
It's a lovely big handshake.
Yeah, exactly. It's a big, lovely pat on the back, a little hug from a friend.
Yeah, there you go. It's a special relationship happening right now.
And I'm that friend that says, come on, you're a little fat.
Yeah.
But give me a hug.
people obviously listening can't see what's happening here, but while Morgan was saying all that, he was cradling me.
It was.
Just cradling me gently.
But I still got my pants on.
Yeah, exactly. What are the big sort of differences, would you say?
I think the biggest thing is that we do an episode all about the class system. I think that, there's this incredible class divide that still very much exists in Britain.
Yeah.
You know, and there's this this idea that from day one, there's almost like a mental clamp of where you should belong in society in a lot of ways.
And it seems like America as well is always kind of quite obsessed with the class system in Britain as well.
You know? Yeah, because I think one of the reasons for that is in the U.S. there is this real, there's this weird, kind of American dream optimism that very much is, no matter who you are, where you come from, if you're the poorest of the poor, you do have the ability to kind of overcome that at some point. And in Britain, it's like, you might get a nice job one day.
Yeah.
It's much more, lower expectations.
In America, everyone is born thinking they could one day become president.
That's right.
If they could just be bothered.
If they could be bothered.
If they could just be bothered.
If you could understand what voting is.
Yeah.
Or why you should do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've seen a few American elections. I don't really understand the voting system there either, but it seems to work.
Well, neither do most Americans because most of them don't vote.
Right? No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Can you be bothered to be president?
Could I be bothered? It's a pretty great job, I think.
It's not bad, is it?
I think it would be all right.
Less travel than you do.
I tell you what, I was on a runway as I spent a lot of time on planes, waiting to take off.
Yeah.
And we were held at the runway, and they were like, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be just a few minutes as Air Force One has just been cleared for landing. So he's sitting there waiting so he can land wherever he wants.
He can do what he wants, that
fella. He can do what he wants, and I'm like, that's pretty great.
Yeah. Very arrogant, aren't they, presidents?
I just want to shut down airports when I fly around. And maybe I just want to circle and be like, I don't know if I'm landing yet.
Yeah.
Because everybody on the ground's like, oh, God, there he is again.
I've not decided.
Up there just circling JFK.
Yeah. That's what you want in the president, somebody who can't decide, even whether to land.
XFM.
And you'll remember, if you were listening yesterday, if you are a regular confirmed listener, that Dave was in some state of, I don't want to say disarray, but you were certainly shaken.
Mm.
Shaken, certainly.
Concerned, more than anything.
Concerned, yeah, you were very concerned about London crime, because a lot of people, they walk around and, it doesn't affect them, so they don't really take that much of an interest. Life is fine, and then one day you are affected by crime, and you realise what a problem it is. And just talk us through your crime.
Well, I had a sleeping gnome on my front window ledge outside the front of my house, protected by a 2.5-foot gate.
2.5-foot gate.
I called him Alfie, and then two nights ago, he disappeared.
Just disappeared, didn't he?
Disappeared.
And you sometimes read about these stories about gnomes going around the world and taking pictures of themselves. I still don't know how that works.
No.
But we're not sure that's what's happened with you and your gnome.
Well, I've not been sent back a picture
yet. Did you mistreat this gnome?
No, not at all.
So the gnome didn't run away?
No, I was very pleasant. No, very pleasant to Alfie.
Yeah. As much as you can be, leaving him outside all night.
Yeah, do you not want to bring him in? It faces the sun, so, I'm sure he was happy.
South-facing, very nice.
Yeah.
and you had a 2.5-foot gate installed by Mario, your landlord.
Mario, yes, thank you.
Now, this wasn't just to protect the gnome. This was just coincidental.
It was, yeah.
It was just great. And yet, it didn't provide enough protection for Alfie. So Alfie was stolen the night by thieves, we think. We advised you yesterday to maybe get in touch with the council to try and secure CCTV footage of this.
Yeah.
You did that, apparently. I haven't heard this. Why don't we get... Why don't we see what happened?
Good morning. Feedback and information.
Hi, my name's Dave, and I live on Road in North London.
Language.
Which I believe falls into the Haringey area. Anyway, last night, I think a gnome from my front garden got stolen, and I was wondering whether you might be the right person to speak to in terms of CCTV coverage.
The problem we have is that if we do have CCTV coverage, we wouldn't be able to release it to you because of the Data Protection Act.
I see. I was just wondering whether you'd had any other calls about any other kind of garden items being stolen from that area over the past 24 hours. Yeah.
No, not that I'm aware of it in this scene, no.
No other gnomes. I mean, it was a sleeping gnome and he had his head lying on a mushroom. But we do have a front gate which is about 2.5 foot high, which you'd have thought would deter people from coming in to steal garden ornaments.
Yeah.
But looks like
very
someone thought about it.
It's very frustrating. Yeah.
It is frustrating. Also, I was wondering, what advice would you give? Do you think it's the kind of thing that I could put up posters for around the area, or do you think he's gone?
If somebody's taking it for a joke, just because of the kind of item it is, it may well be something that's caught somebody's eye on their way home. It might be funny to take.
Well, it's not funny.
No, of course not. No.
All right then. I'll try.
I would report it to the police. You should then be able to claim it on your insurance. That's probably not the point. It's the
it's sentimentality of sleeping gnome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, never mind. I'll forego the posters and hopefully someone will see common sense. Hopefully conscience will prevail and they'll return little Alfie.
Yeah, let's hope so.
All right, thanks a lot. Bye.
Try not to help you. Bye.
Oh, what a very helpful woman.
She was very helpful.
Very good work from Haringey Council, though they do quote the Data Protection Act. What about the Gnome Protection Act, Haringey?
Exactly.
What about that? Huh? Honestly.
It's gone, hasn't it?
It's gone. And have you forgone the poster campaign that you were planning? I saw you sketching some ideas for it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what good it's going to bring. And is it a bit weird putting pictures of gnomes up around the North London area on trees?
Maybe it's a little bit weird. XFL. Our marvellous guest this morning is Morgan Valentine Spurlock. Here he is.
That's a middle name that'll get you beat up. and has in the past.
Has it really? Did you suffer as a child?
Oh, as a child. With a name, middle name like Valentine, you can't help but suffer.
We got Spurlock as well. I mean, you know, we meet people over, you know, we meet bakers and butchers. It's fairly apparent where those surnames have come from. What the heck's a Spurlock?
It's, yeah, it's a good question. It means curly hair, so maybe.
It means what?
Curly hair.
Curly hair?
Yeah, so mostly, I come from a long line of, like, you know, apparently, tossers and puffers, I don't know.
I'm not sure in America that means quite the same as it does over here, so we should probably apologise for that. Hey, the on the screen up there, Morgan Spurlock appeared one more time.
Yeah,
so, Morgan Curly Hair.
A fantastic takeover of Sky. Thank you again for all the great promotion, Sky Atlantic.
You're all over that channel.
Yeah, Uncle Rupert's been very good to me.
Right, fair enough. Making friends here.
Yeah, I owe him some money, apparently.
Yeah. and people know you as well from, you know, the documentaries like Where in the World Is Osama Bin Laden, Super Size Me, of course, which was nominated for an Oscar. I guess that's where in Britain we first became aware of the work of Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah, it was the film did really well over here.
It did exceptionally well. And like I say, Oscar nominated. I mean, how did that feel to be going there?
No, I mean, it's surreal. It was, here's the other thing, too. That was the year that that they brought everybody up on stage. And so they gave away that Oscar like a, it was almost like a talent show.
I don't remember that.
And so it was the only year they did it. And after they did it, they're like, oh, yeah, that's a really bad idea.
That sounds horrible.
So here were the five of us standing up on stage. And they were like, and the Oscar goes to Miss Rhode Island, you know. And
they stretched it out like an X Factor or something.
So you're all standing there. They're looking at you. They're looking at you. And they announce the winner. And there's like four very sad faces.
That's
all clapping and fake smiles.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Good for that other person.
And did they have like tension music and a spotlight?
No,
and then
wasn't
maybe
quite
kicked
that bad.
In with "You Raise Me Up." That would have been good. We could produce the Oscars. That could bring it back.
So that you should first get them under 4 hours.
Second, that would help.
Yeah,
but what a fantastic achievement, and one I don't suppose you'd have seen kind of coming. Like when
making
the thing.
Like, I mean, I was amazed when we sold the film. Like, I was like, somebody actually bought it. That's amazing. And then, you know, it came out in theaters, went around the world. It was
absolutely
phenomenal.
Absolutely. Now here you are doing shows over here as well. In terms of Britain, give me something that makes Britain great. This is all, you know, because New Britannia covers all these things.
I think most Brits are incredibly clever. I think there's something really, there's an amazing sense of humor that just lives and breathes throughout the UK, and I think that's part of what kind of helped shape me into who I am as I grew up on like this great diet of British comedy. But
did you?
But even here, like, you go out into the middle of nowhere and there's people who have just this great dry wit.
They do, exactly. How about something we could do better?
Something you could do better. That's a really good one. I think the bigger one is, you know, have a little, you know, just realize, yes, you can. Obama was right.
Oh, here we go.
Obama was right, Britain. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. I often think I could become President of the United States.
Yes, you can.
Thank you, Morgan.
Yes,
that's
you
good
can.
To know.
Yes,
it
you
will,
can.
Will require some fundamental rewriting of the American Constitution. But it'll be
I'll get on that. I'll get right on that immediately.
Good. XFM. Shall we look at what we've learned today, Dave? I say you go first. Fly.
Shoeshine. Dry cleaning.
Yes.
Tesco. Mm. Bin. All types of bags our breakfast has been delivered in this week,
it's
as
true.
Opposed to the usual paper bag.
Absolutely true.
Now, this has been a fun and unpredictable few days, although I think I can speak on behalf of the whole team when I say enough is enough, bring back the paper.
Yeah, I think they're trying to get us to cancel the breakfast. We do get them free from the hotel opposite, but I think once they start delivering breakfast in a shoeshine bag, they're probably going, these jokers are getting enough free breakfast. On today's show, Dave revealed he's been the victim of overnight gnome theft, a crime so serious that dozens of breakfast show listeners immediately claimed responsibility for this hate crime. We asked you to finally admit responsibility for bad things you'd done. Molly, confirmed Mr. Molly, she said this.
When I was 8, I smeared Dairy Dunk of cheese all over my mum's friend's back window of his car. I don't know why I did it.
Well, not bull. Confirmed Mr. Sam won Quiz Face, even though he had no idea what the rules were. Should know the rules by now, Sam. I asked a stranger if I could watch two pandas making love, and we celebrated the best of Britain's tradesmen in Sparky Wednesday. Unbelievably, we remain the only breakfast show in Britain to do this. There is one, I believe, in the Ukraine.
We are XFM.
So that was podcast number 36 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Hey, Paul Coit, breakfast presenter from Sister Station's Classic Gold. What's the password?
This week's password is Duck Woman.
It's a bit odd, Paul. Bye-bye.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.